Attention maggots, this is Sergeant Slaughter from WWE and G.I. Joe, the real American hero. You're listening to Mega Power Radio. Don't touch that dial. And that's an order.
Shaken Mega Maniacs, it is Monday, January 4th, and we just finished watching tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw, and we are live on Mega Powers Radio on our new home on Mixlr. Shoutouts to all the folks who have found us here for our first broadcast. We have transitioned away from our old server on Blog Talk Radio, so hopefully everyone's finding us here. If you have know someone who's listening to the show, make sure you let them know we have a new home. And, of course, the easiest way to find it is megapowersradio.com. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the Raw Post Show, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We're glad to have y'all with us. We're going to be talking about tonight's edition of Raw, and we want to invite all of you out there to participate all throughout the evening. Number one way to do that is with the chat room that we have on Mixlr.com. So if you haven't done so already, go and sign up with that so that you can get yourself involved in the chat room. We will also be taking your tweets at Raw Post Show. And also, you can join us in the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs, on Facebook. Just search for that. The conversation continues there all week long. In the meantime, though, we are going to get the show started with us hosts here. First off, my name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. Joining me, first off, is the main man of SmartCountMoment.com. His name is Tony Mango.
Yes, indeed it is.
That's your name.
Yes.
Alongside him, we have the host of the year, Mr. Drew White.
What's shaking, everybody?
And also with us, if he's not cutting out too much, Mr. Stephen Holwego.
Mike, cutting out for you guys?
What? So, as I said, we invite all you out there to join the conversation as well. Besides just us, I got to give a shout-out to the folks who got here into the chat room on Mixlr. We got Brian the Brain, Guest 5, Wazili, lots of old fans that we had over from Blog Talk Radio. Thank you guys for making the transition over here, and glad you guys got similar names as well, especially Guest 5. I wasn't sure if that was going to be taken or not. It would have had to be like Guest 6 or something.
Guest 77.
Guest 77. All right, fellas. Well, we had an interesting edition of Raw. It was the first Raw of 2016, and they actually sort of built it up last week, making you might want to tune in with a big main event of Roman Reigns putting his title on the line against Sheamus with Vince McMahon as the referee. They had a few other surprises they threw in as well. It's going to be an interesting edition of Raw to talk about, but I always like to start the conversation off by asking you fellas, after this is all said and done and the dust is beginning to settle, what is the number one thing you're left after this edition of Raw? Tony, start us off.
I don't know if I took one particular thing away, but maybe if gun to my head I had to pick something, it would be this is the start of a new year and WWE is willing to at least try some things to freshen things up.
Okay, that's a fair assessment. Tony, I already said you, actually. Drew.
Well, I don't know.
Drew, what are your thoughts?
That Rumble match, it's probably going to make the most matches when it gets to WrestleMania. So I believe a lot of feuds are just going to be started because of the Rumble match now.
That was the original intention of it, to help create feuds for WrestleMania.
You know, and every once in a while, Dave, actually make feuds from it, but lately it hasn't been working out that
well. No, lately they haven't been doing that. Lately they don't make feuds for WrestleMania until like 3 weeks before it.
Yeah, but now, obviously Lesnar's going to be in the Rumble, Jericho's going to be in, nothing's for sure with The Rock, but that's someone people keep throwing out there. I guarantee you a few eliminations are probably going to cause tensions and actually lead to storylines going forward. So I'm actually looking forward to the Rumble now. I know we'll talk about that here in a bit, but that was the one thing I really took away from.
Interesting. Wago, before we transition into our main event topic, what is the number one thing you took away?
I enjoyed tonight's show. That's the number one thing I took away. Huh. It's an odd thing to say because Raw's generally abysmal these days. And after coming off that New Japan event, I'm trying to think of how to word that, but
cutting out. Maybe it's just his brain.
I think it's my brain. It's a standard of wrestling that I had now going into tonight, and honestly, it didn't let me down. That's shocking.
So we should preface saying that in addition to Raw, this was not the only wrestling show that went on today, being that it's January 4th. If you are an ignorant American, and if you're not familiar with what's going on in the wrestling world outside of the United States, there's a company called New Japan Pro Wrestling from Japan that had what was essentially their WrestleMania tonight. So that was pretty cool. I just happened to be up at around 2:00 in the morning. I was just having my insomnia and saw some links for it being passed around. I was like, what the hell? I'll start watching it. I shared it with the rest of the fellas, so a lot of us actually watched it. And it was a very kick-ass show, and we'll probably go into detail about it. But I was not expecting to enjoy Raw tonight after watching that. And with that happening, I still rather enjoyed Raw. So I think that's definitely a compliment to give it.
I don't know. I mean, how can you really follow that Doraemon thing?
One, there was 36 of them. But there's been, 1,200 Raws.
And 77 Nevilles.
Yeah, but not enough Haku.
What am I going to do with all these Nevilles? I can't hold them all. Someone's got to make that meme now. Like that guy with the lemons. He just got to Photoshop a bunch of Nevilles where the lemons are. Get on it, folks. All right, so our main thing that we had tonight was, of course, that matchup between Roman Reigns and Sheamus. Vince McMahon is the referee. Vince McMahon coming down. Classic Vince. He's got the referee shirt on with the arms. Not the arms, but the sleeves ripped off. So he's
showing off his arms. Were ripped off.
His arms were ripped indeed. That's one thing that could definitely be said. For a man of his age, I mean, the skin was very old man skinny, but he's definitely looking a lot better at his age than I probably hope to.
Probably could still kick all of our asses, that's for sure.
I would say definitely. But I mean, we knew that his arms were going to rip off at some point. Look at how he walks.
He almost ripped off both of his legs at the knees at one point. So
yes.
quick shout outs to Declan MC joining us for the first time in the chat room. I believe we've seen him many times as a commenter. So thank you for joining us live, Declan. Going to continue going on here. This match was pretty much what you'd expected. Vince McMahon trying to screw over Roman Reigns over and over throughout this whole match, not counting the pin for him, trying to count fast for Sheamus. But Roman Reigns manages to just continue fighting on, not letting himself get beat, until he eventually gets to the point where he's just had enough. He punches out Vince McMahon. This prompts out the authority to send out Scott Armstrong, their stooge referee. Roman punches him out too. And yet, for some reason, they still send out enough referee that does not disqualify Roman, even though they should clearly know what happened when he's punched out two referees. He comes down, counts the three, and Roman Reigns successfully defends his WWE title.
Well, see, the other referee was behind the curtain, so he couldn't see him punching him out. He just had the referee instinct of, oh man, I need to run out to the ring now.
Now, see, that other referee was John Cone, the man, the office referee. He makes sure that everything around the office is perfectly fine. That's why he followed the rules.
Is he the new modern-day Earl Hebner now?
Am I missing something?
Yeah, nobody else has ever seen the office referee thing?
No, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
This is this thing that they were doing on YouTube for a while, where Howard Finkel and John Cone would just do this like quick little sketch kind of thing. And it would be something like really simple, like I don't know, like somebody's like in the cubicles and they crumple up a piece of paper and they go to like throw it into a trash can and somebody else swats it away and then he's just like disqualification or like so like that. It's really ridiculous, but John Cone's fantastic with that. So John Cone stepping up again. Extra points tonight.
All right, shout-outs to John Cone tonight.
Woo!
Someone tweet at John Cone. Let him know that he's being mentioned here on the Raw Post Show.
John Cone.
John Cone, woo!
John Cone!
Let's get some John Cone signs next week.
I got you guys. I'm not really John Cone.
I'm really Fred Triangle.
I thought you were going to go with an ice cream joke. I'm really ice cream cone.
The big thing that comes out of this in the end is that Vince McMahon's angry, and his final word on Roman Reigns is that he is going to be defending his title in the 30-man Royal Rumble match for the first time since 1992. The WWE World Heavyweight title will be up for grabs in the 30-man main event titular Royal Rumble match.
What do you think Roman will enter at?
I'm sure they're going to end up making him one.
Isn't Big Show one? Or is it just the thing in the promo?
That was just a botch.
Yeah, you just botched that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if he was being serious about that.
Big Show had a senior moment.
I'm assuming they're not giving him number one, but that's sort of like the... If they do that, it's a little bit too much. It's a possibility, but it's way too overboard. I don't know. I also kind of think that this sort of ruins pretty much the next, like, the build for the next three pay-per-views. For a lot of things. Because this is a kind of standard thing. I mean, you only have two outcomes in this. And then based off of what happens in that, Fastlane has a pretty obvious outcome. And then WrestleMania does.
I think you are being way too quick to assume that's what's going to happen.
Well, let's put it this way. What do you think the likelihood is that this isn't going to happen? That Roman Reigns drops the title to Triple H in the Royal Rumble. They have the main event of Fastlane, which doesn't have a standard main event by now, by the way, that's a number one contenders match that Roman Reigns wins, and he beats Triple H at WrestleMania.
Very much so, because there's at least two people, I think, that are more likely to win the Royal Rumble than Triple H.
Who are those two?
Brock Lesnar and John Cena.
Rick Steiner.
You're close. He wears a helmet.
See, I don't know. I don't put a whole lot of faith that they would do that, because I think that results in them having to build up to – not necessarily build up. Like, I mean, John Cena, you don't need to build John Cena up. But, like, you need to switch the whole situation around so much, and you need to put somebody else – like, who would challenge those people necessarily?
What do you mean?
Like, for instance, Brock Lesnar. If he wins the championship
– Roman Reigns. Either one, it's Roman Reigns.
Oh, then that's basically still the same kind of thing. Roman Reigns drops the title at Royal Rumble, wins the number one contenders match at Fastlane, wins the title at WrestleMania.
I wouldn't even say he wins it at Fastlane. You could do anything at Fastlane. You could do the Triple H Roman Reigns match at Fastlane.
I don't see that happening at all. It's Fastlane. They couldn't even do Stardust versus Goldust at Fastlane.
I mean, they had The Rock wrestle at the February pay-per-view.
Yeah, but that was just because they needed.
I'm sorry. My point completely disagrees with what you're doing. Okay, I get it.
Jesus Christ.
I don't think it's too predictable. I think this is making this Royal Rumble far more intriguing than it was going to be compared to the last 2 years, where it was just, man, we really want Daniel Bryan to win. Oh, Daniel Bryan's not winning. Oh, fuck you. Well, shit. What happens if Daniel Bryan comes back and wins it? What if that happens?
See,
then we're going to boo that because it didn't happen when we wanted.
If they go with an option where somebody wins the title and it's not something that seems like there's an obvious just setup for Roman Reigns to win at WrestleMania, then I'll be really intrigued. But I just don't see that happening. That's kind of like whenever we do the whole like fantasy booking of WrestleMania going back months ago, and we go, you know what would have been really cool? Like that kind of thing. I don't know. I just – there's a lot of possibilities, but I don't think anywhere near like that level of fun is going to end up happening.
I have some faith, Tony.
They got 20 days to convince me that I shouldn't be worried.
How could you ever be worried for a Royal Rumble match? It's almost impossible for that match not to be a good time.
Tell that to the people we interviewed before the Royal Rumble last year.
Yeah, but you know what? Who had a good time?
You and
I. We did. Yeah, that's right. And that's what's important to us. So Wago, Drew, you've been rather quiet. What are your thoughts about how this is going to happen for the Royal Rumble?
I'm quiet because I'm not sure. Like, part of me doesn't like it. Part of me is intrigued by it. So I'm on the fence, and I'm going to be that way until I've got some more time to digest what happened.
They hook, line, and sinkered me, so I'm 100% for this.
They really nailed that coffin.
Yeah.
They sinkered him all right.
I'm just saying, they did a good job with that. I mean, I didn't think tonight's episode of Raw was... It was just an okay episode, and it's slightly above average, but they really caught me off guard by that, and they really made me intrigued about what they could do at the Rumble with that match. It's probably going to be a lot of overbooking and a lot of interferences, which might deter from the match, but I'm still interested to see what they could do with it. Because like you said, they've only done this one other time, and even then, the champion wasn't even in the match. It was just for the vacant title, so... It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, especially when Roman is in there and if, you know, everyone just teams up on him.
Now, they really have some opportunities to do some cool things here. And Brian the Brain in the chat room is saying, I like to see Rusev win the Rumble. And that is not one of them. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
No. Look, I'll put it this way. I would rather Del Rio win at this point than Rusev.
You know, like, Rusev's got a shot, guys. Come on.
I like Rusev, and... If he had been booked differently over the last year or so, I could be more into that, but not where he's at right now. There's a handful of, like, maybe 5 to 8 guys that I think you could realistically make a win out of this. So let's think about that. You got Roman Reigns, of course. I'll throw Triple H in there. John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Daniel Bryan. Randy Orton's not going to be ready. If Seth Rollins pulls some kind of like voodoo witchcraft magic, maybe he could come in and do it.
He won't. He won't. ACL tears usually take 9 months to recover from.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
No
John
way.
Cena was supposed to take 9 months too.
Yeah, and Seth's like a crazy
what was his torn ACL? I thought he just tore a quad.
I don't remember what he did, but whatever he is,
yeah,
he was supposed to be
just a quad.
Way
just
longer
a quad.
Than whatever. No, it wasn't a quad. It was something with his shoulder. I don't remember what it was.
But, was it the, like the? Oh yeah. Okay.
Who else could there be?
You don't think they would give Jericho one last run, would they?
Nope.
Okay.
He had a certain swagger to him tonight, and the way he was talking, I got kind of a feeling that he might be a solid piece for his run here. I don't think he's going to be the guy to come in and win the title, but...
He's there to fill out the mid-card of WrestleMania with all the people gone?
Really, it just depends on how long he plans on being there. I mean... I'm assuming he's going to stick around. He might miss a week here and there.
The Rock said he's going to be at WrestleMania. Didn't say what the capacity is going to be.
Isn't it just an insurance thing at this point? Whether or not
that's all freaking scoop, scuttlebutt. Yeah. Who knows what the reality is with that?
The way I look at it, there's really only two options. Because I can't see a babyface beating Roman Reigns for the title in this situation. Because he either... usurps the popularity of Roman Reigns, which kind of renders the whole past couple of months pointless, or he gets booed, which means we're going into WrestleMania with another boo situation. So I think it's got to be a heel, and I think out of all the heels, I mean, I'm not expecting Rollins to have a chance, and it's Triple H, or actually I would even put above Brock Lesnar, I would put Kevin Owens.
I got one more for you, Tony. And it is a babyface, and he could win it as a babyface. Dean Ambrose.
I think that Intercontinental title is the albatross for him.
Come on, Tony. You always talk about how they're going to mesh two titles together. Come on. Use that logic.
They can have him lose it at a house show this weekend if they want him to.
And also, I don't think, though, that that's anywhere near the case, because I think that if they had this idea in mind, they wouldn't have given him the title.
But here's the thing. He could also lose it before the Rumble match at the pay-per-view.
Maybe they didn't know that's what they would have wanted to do, you know, a few weeks ago when they gave him the title. Like,
possibly, but
I think
shit,
that
I hope they would have planned that for it.
I think they're still in a state of flux that much where they, even now, might not be 100% sure who's going to win it.
I'd be down with Ambrose winning the title. Tell you what, that would make me really excited if Ambrose won the title.
How about this? The Taker's going to be at the Rumble match?
Oh, God, please no.
Oh, dude, just imagine, like the 17th entrant, he takes like 5 minutes to get to the ring.
There's a possibility. He's wrestled a lot more this year than he normally has past couple of years.
Well, Tony, we're only 4 days into the new year. I don't think he's wrestled too many times.
Well, okay. Do you think Taker versus Roman Reigns can main event WrestleMania?
No.
That's a fucking intriguing one.
Taker versus Roman Reigns could definitely main event WrestleMania. I don't think it will.
I don't think so. But not The Undertaker, but the modern-day Undertaker, Bray Wyatt, is definitely a possibility. Could go in there and win that with the help of his family.
Holy shit, I hope not.
Well, Bray Wyatt was a powerhouse in last year's Rumble.
Yeah, I just can't see anybody being an interesting challenger for him for the main event.
Oh, guess five. Excellent insight with Kane's got a shot.
Kane does have a shot.
He's got a better shot than some of the other people.
The greatest main eventer of all time, Jay Lethal, could win it.
Sucks. All right, well, we got a tweet from at Dane Quinn tweeting to us at Raw Post Show. I lost all interest in the Rumble. I like when a new star earns the shot at Mania.
Damn right.
Well, they still have to determine a number one contender for Mania somehow. Doesn't mean they can't do something fun for that.
It'll be like a Fatal 4-Way. Something lame. It's Fastlane.
Be real convenient to have the Elimination Chamber around February.
Well, who's to say they can't just bust that gimmick out? Like, they can do it whenever they want.
Wouldn't that be kind of funny if, like, after 1 year of Fastlane, they end up doing the Elimination Chamber at Fastlane? They're like, sorry,
guys. You know
what?
They might, you know. It's going to be great if they do.
Wouldn't they do something like that where, like, they just made Vengeance Night of Champions?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that the night Chris Benoit didn't show up?
Was it?
I'm pretty sure that was that same night. So we lived at that.
And then it just became Night of Champions, and then a couple years later they were like, oh crap, we don't know what to do in October. Vengeance?
All right, well, we want to keep hearing what you guys got to say out there, so please continue dropping it in the chat room on our Mixlr server. Again, if you are listening to us on the archive or whatever, we have moved this show from Blog Talk Radio. We are now on Mixlr, and you have to register with Mixlr if you want to join us live in the chat room. So make sure you get yourselves registered there so you can join us and chat with all the cool folks in there, like Brian the Brain, Guest 5, Wazili, and, oh, I can't say Silent Wind of Doom because he's not there. Wherever you are, bud, you need to get yourself where it's at here and registered. Oh, Declan's saying he prefers Mixlr. I'm sorry, Declan. I didn't see you in the listeners list here. I wonder why it's not showing up. That's weird. I would have given you a shout out there.
He's in the chat, but he's not listening.
Oh, wow. That makes a lot of sense. All right, fellas. Let's continue talking about Raw here. We're probably not going to get too deep on... there's one other segment I think we can really sink our hands into, and that is New Day. And it is not because of New Day. Because New Day sucked. I've been getting more and more sour about them every week. And I don't know. Tonight they were absolutely intolerable for me. And not in like, oh, that's what they're supposed to be as heels. I'm just like, I can't stand looking at these jokers with their freaking unicorn horns on and their ugly ass colors. Their jokes aren't funny.
If I wasn't obligated to watch it to review it, it's a channel changer.
Well, it's gotten to the point now where they're supposed to be the funny part like they were back in, like, mid-summertime. And now they're just being forced down the throats of everyone. So, it's kind of a shame because they were really good at one point. They were always the highlight at one point. And actually, this segment has my good, my bad, and my ugly for tonight. Because that's how awkward and just, like, the pace of everything just, like, changed throughout this segment. So... this is definitely not a good night for the New Day.
Well, pretty much anything New Day did was not important. The only thing that was important was that they said they had a surprise. And so they bring up a countdown onto the screen, and they have this really cute little countdown with the unicorn and the 10, 9, 8. And then just as it hits the 5, the whole scheme of it changes, and it goes into this, I don't know how to explain it, but it leads to Chris Jericho appearing and... It's pretty much almost like a copy of his initial debut in WWE where he comes out on stage, he berates someone standing in the ring. I think this was all very clever, the way it was done with the surprise of the countdown transitioning over. They always try to do something clever with Jericho's countdown, and they pretty much abandoned doing the promos leading up to it because people have pretty much gotten good at figuring out when it's going to be Chris Jericho. So now they just try to surprise you whenever they can when he appears. And this was, I have to say, very, very well done. Definitely up there on the list of Chris Jericho's return / debuts. Not anywhere near the top necessarily, but I definitely enjoyed it. Do you guys have any input on Chris Jericho's return?
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed this segment. It's been different considering what we've been given from him recently. Most of the time, his returns have now been, oh, well, I just went out in some pyro. Oh, Jericho's back. I lost. All right, see you in a few months, Jericho.
See you when I do my podcast.
So, it was different. He actually had some backwards and forwards on the microphone, and babyface Jericho's at his best when he's just berating somebody, so...
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. There was nothing to dislike about this except the New Day.
Especially because he was burning on New Day, who I was happy to see get burned.
Mm-hmm. It was satisfying.
You hear that vest, though?
That was a little weird. Do you think that was the cover of his old man skin?
Yeah. I gotta say, unfortunately, I didn't like the New Day here.
Oh, thank fucking God. See, I thought you were going to have some bias.
God, you delusional bastard. Yeah. You're like, finally, come down to earth.
Every week I've been loving the New Day. This week, they fucking sucked. Like, this wasn't even just like, it wasn't really that funny. That legitimately was terrible. And I don't know if that was just like, maybe the script writers are starting to get more involved. Maybe they just ran out of material. Maybe this was just like an off night. I don't know. But this was just not funny in the slightest bit. There wasn't a single part that made me chuckle. And then Jericho comes out and I was like, oh, sweet, Jericho's back. What the hell's going on with his vest? And he kind of looked, I forget who it was. I think it was Drew who said, I wasn't expecting midlife crisis Jericho to come out. And I was just like, yeah, he doesn't seem the same. And he pointed out something that normally I would say that it would be something I'd put in my good, but I actually really didn't like that he pointed it out. He said, 1 minute of Y2J is already more entertaining than Raw has been. And that's really self-serving in a lot of ways, and Jericho is that kind of character and stuff, but at the same time, you're drawing attention to the fact that I haven't been liking Raw, and I just didn't like this New Day segment. So now you just reminded me that I shouldn't be paying attention to what's going on now. You know what I mean?
And he fully, like, full out said, yeah, ratings are low, network subscribers are down. He's
right.
Pretty much just been, like, blunt with
it. And that's actually a lot like the original Jericho debut. He pretty much said the same exact stuff when it was him and The Rock in the ring.
He did. And at that time, the ratings actually were doing fantastic. They had already retaken the Monday Night War. But still, not too long previously, they were bad.
I guess it, like, stings a little more when it's real.
Yeah. I don't know.
And also hopefully when it's not The Rock in the stuff. Ring.
Yeah.
New Day, The Rock are not.
I think Biggie had one of The Rock's haircuts, but that's about it.
Yeah, the bad
His
one.
Old, really shitty one from 1996.
Yeah. That's as close as it got to The Rock tonight.
All right. Well, New Day had a match with Kalisto and the Dudley Boys, but it didn't fucking matter. I think New Day won. But it was bad. Their segment was bad. Just Mike Jericho was cool. Just Jericho was cool.
Yeah, stop existing.
Maybe it was just an off night, because I still do like some stuff they do, but for the most part, they've been getting a little tanked for me. But let's talk about a stable that I did enjoy tonight. Yeah, there's actually another stable in town. I can't believe this. Dolph Ziggler's in the ring, waiting for his opponent, and we hear Heath Slater's music coming, but Heath Slater does not come out alone. He is partnered with Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, and Adam Rose. What? What a random pairing. Dolph Ziggler and Heath Slater actually having a halfway decent Monday Night Raw match. Nothing that I'm going to like tell everyone to go and check out, but if you're just sitting there watching, it's not like this was a complete random squash. Heath Slater getting a victory here with a roll-up, but still the victory, a hot start to whatever this group is going to be. They each had a little bit of mic time, and I'm guessing their name is hashtag social outcast? Or was that just their phrase? Or I don't know what the hell it is.
I have no idea what they even fucking said.
Especially Curtis Axel.
That promo was batshit insane. Fucking Heath, I can just about understand. Then Adam Rose just starts, like, talking in tongues. Curtis Axel grabs the mic, starts screaming like a madman.
The chains are off!
And Bo, like, awkwardly takes it on, and before Bo can even finish his sentence, he's trying to take the mic back off of him. It's like the most dysfunctional fucking group ever, and somehow
it's like they just picked
brilliant.
Them in daycare. They just picked yeah. four random kids that weren't really getting along in daycare, and it's like, all right, here you go.
There's no chemistry at all in such a way that it's good. Yeah, this is going to be a total another 3MB get jobbed out every week stable, but I'm just glad that Dolph Ziggler lost, so ha.
Well, I made the joke when they were coming out. I was like, oh, look, at someone else said they were the job squad, and I'm like, yeah, they're coming to recruit Dolph Ziggler. That's pretty much what they did.
Like, how you know how far, how you know when you've sunk to the bottom? You've lost the heaps later.
What is it? Guess Five saying, I love how even Harlem Heath was confused about what Adam was Rose was saying.
Yeah, he was
like, just Adam like Rose. Extra words.
Yeah, as Adam Rose was just babbling on.
Harlem Heath? That would actually be a really cool gimmick when they run out of things to do with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's got staying power.
He really does.
I don't know what he does.
Like, he should have been released about 20 times by now.
Nah. Company man. Yo, he has a lot of respect from the fans, too, which is really awesome. It's one of those times I'm proud to be a wrestling fan when they pull through with stuff like that.
Yeah, you know he's going to be one of those guys that are released on one of their spring cleanings in a few years, and everyone's going to be like, aw.
Yeah, he's like a Shelton Benjamin type of guy. Yeah.
So, and then people will be talking about how he should have won the world title at some point. It'll be like, oh, come on, he's not dead.
So, we all agree. Adam Rose still sucks, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
At least it wasn't the Rose Bush.
Like, I'm assuming they just gave up on that, because that hasn't happened in a few weeks, right?
They damn sure better have given up on that.
Unless they do it with, like, all four of them.
Oh, dude, them trying to construct the one segment, that'd be brilliant. They'd be talking over each other the whole time.
Yeah, they could do, like, a roundtable segment with them.
Just have Curtis Axel just shouting the entire time.
Like a caveman.
Oh, my God, I bet that.
It looks like
apparently
one.
Cavemen are in wrestling right now, so.
Hi, I'm Travis Goss. How's it going?
So let's play quick draw going through the rest of these segments on Raw. I don't think they're going to have too much to say about these. Opening segment, Stephanie McMahon comes out. Roman Reigns interrupts her before she even gets to leave the ramp. He demands to see Vince McMahon, but Stephanie says he should get used to being disappointed tonight.
Didn't watch.
It was okay. I mean, by okay, they kept it, like, 6-7 minutes long, and it didn't, like, take 30 minutes at the beginning of the show, so... It probably sucked, but at least it wasn't 30 minutes long.
Snore. Especially since they had to repeat it later on. Fuck it. Don't do it.
Neville took on Kevin Owens in a rematch from last week, and this match was at least 300 times as long as the match was last week.
And it was fucking awesome.
It was a pretty damn good match. We had Dean Ambrose on commentary as well. And not only was the match awesome, but after Owens gets the victory, him and Ambrose have a brawl outside the ring. Dean Ambrose props Kevin Owens up on the announcer's table, climbs up on the guardrail, and puts him through the table with his patent elbow.
Can WWE do this guy a favor? Stop having him be the Slammy Award-winning nerd that gets picked on and needs Dean Ambrose to save him.
I think it's funny.
Yeah. Like,
What's the point of giving him a Slammy Award to, as, like, the breakout guy to get his ass kicked for the next 3 weeks?
Maybe they meant he was going to break out with acne.
Tony, listen, he beat Kevin Owens in, like, 15 seconds last week.
But it was a complete joke, and he got his ass whooped right afterward.
Give the man fucking credit. He won the match, Tony. Come on.
What do you remember more about it, that he won the match or that Kevin Owens beat the shit out of him?
That he won the match and the former Intercontinental Champion looked like shit.
First off, you gotta remember Intercontinental.
I will say, when it comes to the match, enjoyed it. Post-match, enjoyed it. And when Dean Ambrose is on, like, the barricade and Michael Cole was, like, yelling, JBL, get out of the way, get out of the way! I was laughing the whole time.
Well, a match that was not quite as enjoyable as that one followed it up, and that was Titus O'Neil versus Stardust. They've been having these guys interact for, I think, like a couple months now, or at least it's felt like it. I think Titus won.
He won. Okay. Yeah, he won. It was stupid. He won. I'm pretty sure he won like a powerbomb.
Nobody cared, not even the announcers. As soon as the match was over, they cut to the announcers' table and they start plugging the Royal Rumble. So obviously this wasn't important at all.
Nah, this was filler.
They really ruined the Stardust character.
It's when they got rid of the sleeves. As soon as they got rid of the sleeves. Vince McMahon can do that, but apparently Cody has to have sleeves.
I think Stardust died right after the Stephen Amell thing.
Yeah, it was right when he started losing sleeves.
Yeah. Wasn't? I thought he lost sleeves beforehand.
A little bit before it. But it was roughly the same time.
You know.
As soon as they were like, well, we got that done, now go to the back of the line, then it sucked.
Oh, it sucks. He's probably one of the best talents they have. They just give him that and not do anything with him. Because he was an interesting character at one point.
He wants to do it, apparently.
Which is I doubt he wants to do it if they're not going to actually utilize it.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't want to be like lingering in the lower mid card and losing to Titus O'Neil, but he wants to be Stardust, you know.
I feel this tweet is worth replying to here. At Dane Quinn tweets to us again at Raw Post Show. Since when are you guys anti New Day? Did I miss something?
The segment.
This segment is going to turn Tony. Yes.
Next week, I'm going to be assuming that they're going to be better. This doesn't make me instantly like hate them or anything like that. Just this week was terrible. Last week was fine.
And we'll see how next week does. In my opinion, they've had good and bad weeks for the last couple months, and this was one of their worst. So we'll have to see. Continuing with Raw here, we had a Divas match. Charlotte versus Becky Lynch. Another one of these women, two women from NXT that we've seen great matches between. Given some time on Raw, last week we had Becky Lynch and Sasha, and it was actually fairly disappointing. This, I think, was a bit of a step up. Becky Lynch especially looking like a spitball, and she freaking kicked lots of ass here. She pulled the victory with a handful of tights, so turning the tables on Charlotte and getting the victory here. And Charlotte gets angry, attacks Becky Lynch after the match, officially cementing her in her heel position, finally, after they've been toying with this for so long. Just kind of odd. But, now, fellas, anything to add to that?
Really makes that Paige feud worth a damn, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, where the hell was Paige?
I don't know, sulking somewhere.
Nothing from her tonight. Well, she didn't even get to like do like a Clark Bar segment or anything.
Clark Bar?
Yeah, wasn't that what that was for?
I don't know.
You remember they, remember they did that candy bar segment and it was like her and Dean Ambrose and they were talking about who the nuttiest superstar was or something?
Not in the slightest bit.
Okay, it was one of
those.
Is this
like a dream that you had? Does anybody else remember this?
No, like it was like one of those commercial type segments, you know, like when they had Mark Henry eating the burger.
No, I don't remember that one either.
Really? Someone else has to remember the segment with Mark Henry eating the burger and it had like El Torito.
Was he eating like an El Torito?
Oh, burger? I remember that. That was fucking terrible.
I remember when
at least somebody remembers it.
The only time I remember anyone eating a burger on Raw was after Jerry Lawler's surgery, and he's like eating a Sonic burger for the sake of it.
That was pretty bad. So we had Big Show versus Ryback, another rematch from last week. Ryback goes to finish it early, but Big Show throws him out of the ring. All of a sudden, the lights go out. Wyatt family appears. They attack Ryback, then circle the ring and attack Big Show as well, looking dominant afterward, and the announcers basically say this is them announcing that they're in the Royal Rumble. Cool. Of course they were. Nothing to add, fellas?
I don't know. I mean, I would have thought that the four primary guys that are out there each and every week wouldn't have been a part of it. Sure they kind of clarified that for me.
Especially when they're so low on stars, why wouldn't they use them, right?
Right. It's like at this point, it was a guarantee that Curtis Axel was going to be a part of it. Well, and Bo Dallas and all them.
He was like the third guy announced.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Still thinking he's going to be number one, but we'll get to that another time. It was kind of cool. I didn't see it coming. I expected Big Show and Ryback to just have a match, Big Show to win, than for him to just leave. So when Wyatt Family came out, it was like, oh,
Well, they initially started attacking Ryback. At first, I was like, oh, we're doing this again. We just saw this a few months ago. And then they went after Big Show, and suddenly it got very intriguing. And the crowd almost kind of got behind Big Show there. Declan in the chat room saying, the legend Eric Rowan begins his journey January 24th. Maybe that's what this whole thing is for. Big Show is going to be putting over Eric Rowan.
All right, you want to get me excited post-Royal Rumble? Give me a fucking Eric Rowan title picture? I'll be like, all right, I don't know what the hell is happening here.
I'm so confused. I'm watching.
All right. Who oh, goddammit, somehow it still turned out to be Triple H.
We had a match between the Usos going against Rusev and Del Rio representing the League of Nations. Another match. I don't know who the hell won. It doesn't matter. I'm over the Usos, too. Tag division WWE is really not doing too well.
I think League of Nations won.
Yeah, League of Nations won.
Okay. Sure.
Didn't Del Rio do that stomp from the ropes instead of the turnbuckle?
Yeah. That was kind of cool. That happened.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because then I remember I thought it was awkward that he was hugging Rusev at the end.
Cool.
It was okay. It was slow in the beginning, but it picked up towards the end, so I won't say it's the most amazing thing ever, but it was okay.
Well, with that, we reached the end of the talk of Raw. The show is not over yet, though. We still have lots to come your way, guys, but we want to remind y'all once again, you can continue participating in the show. You can tweet to us at Raw Post Show. You can join the chat room on Mixler on the broadcast page there. You can join the Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs on Facebook. We're taking talk on all of those avenues of what you guys thought of Raw tonight, any questions you want to pose to us, whatever is on your mind. Let's take a few minutes to talk about that show that I teased earlier, New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom 10. I think all of us here got to at least watch parts of it. Fellas, do you have any just overall thoughts you want to just throw out there? See if we stir anything up off this?
I love their difference in production.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Everything seems a little cleaner, more vivid. And it doesn't seem like there's some douchebag with giant beaver teeth fucking it up.
I don't know. I mean, we did have somebody just pan down to somebody's shoe at one point.
Yeah, but we got a lot of pans towards tits, so it made up for it.
Yeah, that's kind of true. That one chick was really hot.
Which one? There was a lot of fucking hot chicks on that show.
The one in the camo. Yeah. I don't know her name.
Definitely the camo. The green one was really cute, too, though.
Mm. Camo, then green, then the blonde girl.
How are there women so much fucking hotter than the, like, WWEs?
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
The camo one definitely was.
Camo one's up there. Blonde girl? Nah.
Camo one, I mean, a blonde girl, she probably looked better under you. Wow, we are pigs. Can we talk about the wrestling? There was a lot of good wrestling on this show.
There was a lot of hot women, though.
Jesus Christ.
We can start berating how the guys looked, too. I mean, that one dude looked just like Mr. Anderson.
All right, well.
Haku?
What I thought was pretty neat was before the show even started, they were streaming the building of the stage and the ring and everything like that. If you're a diehard fan, you could just sit there and watch them do that minute by minute. I basically just breezed through it, just clicked, you know, every like 20 minutes or so to see what the progress was. Like, oh, that was fun to just go through and check that out. And like I said, that was around 2 a.m. And I just didn't think I was going to sleep anytime soon. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was probably going to just pick a movie on, just sit back and watch that. And I noticed the stream was running live. So I watched it. And man, am I glad I did, because this was such a fun wrestling show to watch. I couldn't tell you who half the guys' names were that I watched. I know the first one we watched was a Royal Rumble style match where people could actually be pinned to be eliminated. I know it had like Jushin Thunder Liger in it, Tiger Mask, Cheeseburger, Haku.
Okay, but just so everybody knows, the draw for Tony to watch Wrestle Kingdom was Haku.
Yeah, well, we said there was a Royal Rumble match with Haku. That was the convincing factor for him.
When's the last time I saw Haku?
So yeah, Haku's still a draw.
Probably last time he was in the Royal Rumble in WWE.
Probably, yeah. Which was
like, he just like sat awkwardly on top of the turnbuckle and just like punched off? That was his last appearance, I think.
Sure. I couldn't tell you exactly. But that was a fun match. It was won by the guy who came out last. I don't remember much about him except that he had one of those cute ladies with him.
That was Maven, right?
That was Maven, yeah. One game we were playing while we were watching is we were just comparing them to what their American equivalents were. And that guy was definitely Maven because he was just a small, scrawny guy that looks like he probably won their version of Tough Enough. Came in and just...
Name was like Jido? Maybe?
Kodo?
Kimono?
I don't know.
Naga.
Naga come to WWE, that's for sure. And then things got weird. And I mean really weird. Like, first they had two of the wrestlers were dressed in caveman garb, and they're talking in Japanese, so I have no idea what the hell they're saying.
Okay, so that whole thing, one of those was Hiroshi Tanahashi, who was in the main event. He was a commercial for something.
Okay, well, it was a commercial for some movie, and it's like, whatever, you know, they spend 2 minutes doing that, that's fine, it's pretty harmless. One thing I wanted to say is that they're talking in Japanese, and they had English commentary, but they had Kevin Kelly and Matt Stryker for the English commentary, and they had a third man of Yoshitatsu, who was specifically there to be the translator of when things were in Japanese over to English, and he was just useless on so many levels.
But there was even a part where they go, can you tell us what that is in Japanese? No.
Completely useless. So he's not helping out in this part either. And then, after we have those wrestlers talking, all of a sudden, this grown man in, like, furry underwear and a furry tie, comes out holding the hand of this little girl who's also in, like, a caveman outfit. They're screaming at us in Japanese, and all of a sudden, like, this big stuffed kitty and this weird gingerbread alien-looking thing come out, and then they all start dancing, and then a video plays where they're all dancing, and this goes on for, like, 15 fucking minutes. And this, I was so confused at first, and as we started putting puzzle pieces together, I guess this was for some anime series, that apparently there's fucking 36 of them.
Nah, first 35 were better.
God damn it, I was about to say that. Fuck you.
Like you've seen any of them.
I still don't even know what the fuck I saw in this pay-per-view.
I think the 39th one's pretty good.
Sure.
I don't know what the hell that was. But when we finally got onto the show, lots of good wrestling all around. I know Young Bucks were in a match, and I even have to say they had a pretty damn good match that had Ricochet, Evan Bourne, the Briscoes from Ring of Honor had a tag team match there on there as well. The big match that you want to watch this show for, though, was for their Intercontinental title, which they actually call an Intercontinental title as well. You would have thought that name was so stupid, only WWE would have been using it. Apparently they do as well.
Okay, they actually have terrible jobs at naming their titles.
Oh, like they're fucking awful.
International Wrestling Grand Prix Championship, Junior Championship, fucking Junior Tag Championship. There's got to be like 12 belts there.
It's well, they had ridiculous. The Never Championship, yeah, so it's like you're never going to defend it.
They just had a brand new belt. They crowned the first champion.
Oh, the Never Championship. I think Dean Ambrose had one of those.
That's the one that Heath Slater is going to win soon, right?
Yeah.
Never! The main match you want to see is definitely for the Intercontinental title, Shinsuke Nakamura against AJ Styles for that Intercontinental title. This was definitely the most hype match I was looking forward to, at least. And what I saw of it, these guys delivered by far, lots of respect throughout the match. And apparently, maybe their last match in New Japan for each of them.
Yeah, this match didn't just get hyped. It stayed hype!
Yeah, that was actually... I was shocked to hear that after that epic match that not only would AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura handing in their resignation, but apparently a lot of the Bullet Club have us too. And
resignation.
Yeah, I couldn't get that word out. I was like, is he going to bother? Yeah, he's going to fucking call.
I almost let it go, but I was like, wait, what did he what?
So they handed
there was
in
no
their
way
resi-
I was going to let that go.
So they handed in their resignations, apparently, but... It could be a lot of bullshit. But, like, the Bullet Club in general, like, a lot of members are meant to. Which is weird, considering that's pretty much half their fucking roster.
Oh my god, like, 7/8 of this pay-per-view was fucking Bullet Club matches.
Yep.
Yeah, so a lot of bullets in that chamber.
If they're down on that, they're going to have to shuffle their cards just as fast as WWE had to.
Yeah, they got Maven.
They do seem to have a much bigger pool of talent that I'm sure they could recover easier, but...
Kaelin says you need to stop pronouncing Shinsuke like Shitstein.
Shinsuke.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
How is that anything like Shitstein? Shinsuke. That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, it's like how you pronounce Miss Disease.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was right about that, too. So fuck you guys.
Shit's disease. They're all just shit's disease.
There was actually a main event that was on after that. Okada versus Tanahashi, and I didn't get to see this one, but from apparently what I'm hearing, this was a match worth seeing as well. Do you have anything you could add to this, Wago? I know you didn't see it either, but you're more familiar with this guy's history.
The reason I chose not to stay up any longer than I had to watch the main event was I've seen Tanahashi versus Okada at least 3 times, possibly 4, and at least 2 of them at Wrestle Kingdom already. They were our matches, or close. I don't want to see it again. They were all close to 4 or 5 star matches. But there's only so many times I can watch the same 2 guys go at each other. So I'm hoping that Nakamura gets elevated to the main event and put priority above Tanahashi as the lead babyface, because Okada isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Hmm. Well, that's Wrestle Kingdom. Now I want to talk a little bit more about these guys that are potentially coming to WWE. So out of these guys, I mean, I know, Wago, you're a longtime AJ Styles fan. I've been intrigued by Nakamura's work. Every time I've seen him, I really dig what he does. This guy is such an out-there character. I'm really interested to see what they could possibly do with him under the WWE banner. Who else was possibly? Doc Gallows, I think, was another guy that said to have possibly signed.
Potentially. And it'd be shocking since he already had a run there, but I'm open for it.
Carl Anderson, too.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that someone was there and they sent to get more seasoning elsewhere, and when they were ready, they brought them back. Because he's definitely progressed a hell of a lot since the last time he was in WWE.
And he was good in WWE, I think. Festus was an interesting character. Luke Gallows was a good sidekick for CM Punk. I liked him. He was Fake Kane.
He was Fake Kane, yeah. Any thoughts about these guys coming in, though? Anyone excited for any of these guys?
I want to be excited that AJ Styles might come to WWE. Shut up, cat. That was my cat just squealing at outside my door. He's a fucking dick. Where was I going with this? AJ Styles. So, yeah. I love his work. I love that he's always consistently evolved. He's never slowed down. I don't want to see what WWE might do with him. I'm worried that they're just going to sabotage everything that I love about AJ Styles. So, I want it to happen, but I'm very hesitant to see it.
Do you think that AJ Styles might just be one of those guys that they get just to fill out in NXT?
Yeah, and I'd be okay with that, because it doesn't mean he can't have amazing matches down there.
Yeah, at the very beginning of the year, I had written something up for Bleacher Report, and one of the sections was... say something that is like a bold prediction, and I said AJ Styles is fucking coming to WWE. If it happens, called it. If it doesn't, forget I said that.
So I'm just throwing it out there, folks. If you're looking for an alternative to WWE, this is a show to certainly check out, at least for, you know, one show burst of seeing something that's just refreshing, a completely different view on what wrestling is and what it can be, everything all the way down to the audience. I mean, I know we get to see that UK crowd a lot, but to get to see the Japanese crowd, very, very fun to watch. And a good show to check out just as something different from WWE. And if you also want to see something different from WWE, I'm going to also give another shout out to Lucha Underground restarting in, I believe, 3 weeks.
And they're also going to be touring with house shows now.
Oh, that's so fucking cool. Apparently they're going to be there for WrestleMania weekend. So they're coming to make their mark.
Is Ring of Honor doing that again this year?
Oh, they do that every year.
That's going to be interesting.
Dude, like, WrestleMania weekend for a wrestling fan just to go to that town and have like all these options of all these shows to go to. Although we just went with SummerSlam now for New York. Woo!
I just wish WWE wouldn't try and push him out of the area because it's cool and it only helps them. People are excited for wrestling in general.
Do they really try to push them out? I haven't heard anything about that.
So they were trying to hold venues around that time so nobody else could get them. Like, even small ones, they had an agreement with the...
with the town?
Yeah.
Huh. That's whack. Huh. Well, gonna wrap up talk about that. So we got a few things left to do here. One thing I want to do is the fave commercial, as I know you guys always look forward to. And this one, as I came and say, is a fave commercial. I'm actually going to say it's the one that bothered me the most, but it stuck with me the most throughout this night. And it is this commercial for the Dollar Shave Club, where this guy is going into the bathroom wanting to shave, but he looks down at his sink and his razor is just laying there dying. Like, it's frothing at the mouth. It's like filthy and disgusting and it's vomiting all over the sink. And he's like, all right, let's shave. Let's just shave, buddy.
And that was sick. They've got a whole bunch of these and they were all over Hulu for a while. It was the only good part about having commercials on Hulu. They had some really fucking wacky ones and I really like this one too.
It's just creepy to me.
No, I thought it was funny as fuck.
I don't have to deal with this problem. I think it's just because I don't shave that often. So, you know, I use my razor the 2 times a month I shave, and I can trade it out for another one, and it's not a problem.
I've considered signing up for Dollar Shave Club.
I'm not really into any of these subscription boxes. Did you guys do any of these subscription boxes? I recently have been getting a lot of advertisements for that Smuggler's Bounty because of the whole Star Wars
fan. Oh, like Loot Crate and all that shit? Nah, yeah. I'm not interested.
Well, they have them for other things. So they have them for, like, foods. You can get them for, I don't know,
music. We had BarkBox for Tommy back when we first got her because we didn't have any duck toys. So that was pretty cool for that.
Superhero Stuff had sent something to me for December. Got a nice little Star Wars package there. But I haven't subscribed to any of that kind of stuff. But I actually did think about signing up for Dollar Shave Club, actually.
Of all the ones.
I haven't heard much about it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've heard the Stone Cold podcast, apparently.
No.
Yeah, fuck me. He really loves touting that one, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
And he loves talking about how moisturized your skin will be if you use their shave butter. It's fucking awkward
as
shit.
It is kind of awkward. Did you ever hear the episode when he was talking about how he had to buy, I think it was shampoo or maybe it was body wash or something. He was talking about how he went into the aisle to look for it. And he was just having such an awkward time trying to read all these bottles and talking about all the exfoliates and all this weird shit that's in all of them. And he didn't know what to get. And he said the reason, okay, it was body wash, I remember, because he was looking for something to use for his brand new loofah. And he was talking about how much he was in love with his new loofah.
Yeah, I do remember that one. It was awkward as shit. Yeah. I hate it when Stone Cold.
When he just rambles by himself.
Yeah,
he goes into some weird directions.
Yeah, I'm like, stop being a person. You're Smash Cans, middle finger person. Stop. Stop being like a creepy old grandpa.
Indeed. All right. Well, next thing we should take care of is the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about the best part of Raw, the worst part of the Raw, and the most god-awful, must-avoid part of Raw. If you have a good, bad, and ugly, drop it in the chat room, and we'll read it when you get to ours.
Know what I'm saying?
Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly. As I said, if you got your GBU, drop it in the chat and we'll read it out. In the meantime, let's do the host, Drew. What's your good, bad, and ugly?
My good for the night will definitely be Chris Jericho. Just the return caught me off guard. And he wasn't bad while he was out there. So that's going to be my good. My bad, it's probably going to be Rudy Tootie Booty. I thought that was retarded. And then my ugly, it's going to be Xavier Woods' Mike Tyson impression. That was fucking abysmal.
That was fucking terrible. All right, Wago, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good has to go to Kevin Owens and Neville, that whole, and the Dean Ambrose attack afterwards. That entire segment was a lot of fun and easily the best thing I've seen from WWE in a while.
As far as the bad goes, I'm going to have to give it to the New Day. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with them recently, but they need to reset and rethink. As far as the ugly goes, as much as I like they're doing something with Heath, that promo between all four guys, whatever they're calling themselves, Jesus Christ, it was a mess.
Tony, good, bad, and ugly.
I'm going to actually give my good to the formation of this new job squad. The promo was a little bit weird, but then again, I think that that's partially because Adam Rose was in it. There's different ways that they could have gone with a lot of these guys, and one of those could have been just to fire them all. And I would rather see them have a stable of four people that can lose and be comedic jobber losers that are all like in some kind of a united front than to just be like, all right, well, you all linger around the mid-card still. Like, it's something different. I'm interested. My bad's going to be the fact that Ric Flair still keeps fucking showing up. Go away. Damn it. I don't like this whole Charlotte thing. And it's better than having her be a babyface with Ric Flair, but shit, I am far past over this. And I don't want to say I would wish upon her, but this is one of those kind of times where I sort of wish that maybe Charlotte would get injured and WWE would have to get forced to change their opinion, because I think this is going to go on for months, and that's the only way that it would end up happening. So hopefully she doesn't get injured. Hopefully they decide to change things up and stuff, but if it comes down to it, I'd rather her take a month off and fuck up all the plans than to sit through this for anymore. I'm tired of Ric Flair. My ugly, unfortunately, is going to the New Day and the Jericho thing and all that. Yeah. Damn it, guys, you let me down.
Wow, that's a shocker. All right, well, we're going to read one out of the chat room here. Declan is giving his good to Jericho's return, his bad to the Dudleys and Kalisto versus New Day matchup, and his ugly to Big Show versus Ryback. My good, bad, and ugly, my good for this evening was also Jericho's return, specifically the cleverness they had with the countdown. I thought that was really fun. My bad, how much New Day sucked on this show. They were just awful. But I still have to give the ugly. You know, he thought he was going to avoid it because he didn't have a Rosebush segment this week. But Adam Rose, you are still getting my ugly this week. You awkward, ugly-looking motherfucker. Is it just me or does he look kind of greasy?
I can see him being greasy.
Yeah, he's pretty greasy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he was greased up a bit. All right, folks, it's time to do what a lot of people have really grown to like, the end of the show games. Well, we're going to play some games. And the whole point of this is to pick a winner, and that winner is then going to pick one of the losers to read our plugs at the end of the show in a manner of their choosing. And this can be something that's really funny or challenging or however direction they want to take it. And we love for you in the chat room to suggest stuff to us of what you think we should have the person read the plugs in. So if you have an idea, please drop it in there while we do the game. So if we see it in there and we think it's a good one, maybe we'll grab it and we'll do it. We're going to be doing two games this week, guys. Last week, I debuted a new game called, in other words, people seem to really like it. So I'm bringing it back this week. We're going to do another round of In Other Words. And we're also going to debut a new game called The Gooker or The Egg.
So which one counts towards someone getting fucked over?
Both.
Cool.
Yeah, we're doing points carrying through both games. So we're going to do In Other Words first. So if you guys don't remember how this game works, basically I am going to read two words, or not two words, but I'm going to read a phrase, and you have to convert those words into some synonym of what they are to what it is related to wrestling. So let me give you an example that we had from last week. I had a fresh 24 hours. A fresh 24 hours was the New Day. So that should be pretty clear explaining how that one works. Fellas, do you need any further explanation how this works, or you remember how we did this?
Can we throw rocks at Drew?
You can throw rocks at Drew.
Cool.
Okay.
Ow. Here we go. Can I borrow some rocks?
I guess.
Oh, sweet. All right. So, Tony, since you were our champion last week, I'm going to let you start off first on this one. Your first one, for in other words, is Conclusive Soldier. Conclusive Soldier. Remember, you could pass, because if you get it wrong, it is negative points. Conclusive Soldier.
Conclusive Soldier. I am going to pass on that one.
All right, passing it over to Wago. Do you know what Conclusive Soldier is?
I'm trying to think, but nothing's coming. Pass.
All right, Drew, you can steal this one. Conclusive Soldier.
Yeah, damn, I'm going to pass on that one.
I know it.
What is it, Tony?
Do I get points?
No.
Oh, it's the Ultimate Warrior.
It is the Ultimate Warrior. Everyone passed on that one. Ultimate Warrior.
I was like, my brain was going to like the Marine for John Cena and shit.
Yeah, Wazili in the chat room got it. I don't know if he got it before we announced it, but yeah. Ultimate Warrior was Conclusive Soldier. No points for that one. Way to go. You get first dibs at this one, and I'm going to really hope you can get this one. Okay. Your, in other words, is Grapple Empire. Grapple Empire.
Grapple Empire?
Oh, timeout. Drew? Grapple Empire.
And all these are WWE related, right?
Not necessarily.
I'm going to pass then. Not risking it.
All right, Tony. Grapple Empire.
Well, there are wrestling rules, right?
I just got it. Fuck!
They are wrestling related, yes.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Wago? Yes.
It was Wrestle Kingdom.
Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
I like how you guys are getting them, like, way after.
All right. No, I still wouldn't have gotten that one.
Drew, this is your first shot.
Ooh.
First dibs on this one, okay? Let's see if you can get this one. Ooh. Your, in other words, is Die Hard Evergreen. Die Hard Evergreen.
Feels like all of these are, like, war-related. I'm going to have to pass on this one.
Tony, Die Hard Evergreen.
No clue whatsoever.
Wago, Die Hard Evergreen.
Yeah, I'm passing on this one.
Oh, wow. I didn't think I was going to get you that way. All right. Die Hard Evergreen. Hardcore Holly.
Yeah, there was no way I was getting that one. That was hard as fuck.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys.
I'm like, Bruce Willis, tree.
I think it's funny.
Something Chris Pine.
Don't get me wrong, it was good, but it was fucking impossible.
Okay, well, fuck you, Drew. Tony, I think you should be able to get this one. So, Tony, in other words, what is Cheddar Ground Chuck?
Wait, what was that?
Cheddar Ground Chuck.
Cheddar Ground Chuck?
Cheddar Ground Chuck.
Cheeseburger?
Cheeseburger!
Damn it.
Tony got
like, it can't be cheeseburger, can it?
It's cheeseburger. You got it. Hey, sometimes damn. You just got to go with your gut instinct. Because very often it's probably right. All right, Wago, this one's coming to you. Your, in other words, is Fifth Month Junior. Fifth Month Junior.
What the hell's going on outside my door?
Fifth Month Junior.
I'm going to have to pass.
Drew, Fifth Month Junior.
Fifth Month Junior. Mae Young.
Mae Young. Plus one for Drew on that one. All right. Good job on that one. And Drew, you also get first pick on this one. And I think you should have a much easier time with this one than your last first pick.
Did you just read Wazili typing that into the chat, you fucking cunt?
I'm not even on the damn chat.
He's not even on the cat. He's not even on the cat yet.
Well, I knew it was something with May, Fifth Month May, and Junior Young. It wasn't that difficult.
I thought that was an easy one. Especially for Fifth Month. Like, as soon as you see it here, that's
right. Well, I was just thinking if there was anyone else named May in wrestling. I was like, ugh. Well, yeah.
I was really hoping you wouldn't get that, Drew.
Oh, you knew it? Okay.
I wanted the fucking cheeseburger one, so fuck you, Tony. Let's see,
yeah,
Drew.
I knew that. That's the only one I've known.
Drew, I'm going to tell you this is probably the easiest one out of them all, so you're going to like this one, okay?
Hopefully.
In other words, What is Savage Polynesian?
Fuck, I'm drawing a blank right now, and that's the sad part.
Savage Polynesian.
Savage Polynesian. I'll pass. I want to hate myself for it, but I'm going to pass.
Tony, Savage Polynesian.
I'm not confident enough to guess and get it wrong and lose my point. I'm passing.
Okay, Wago, Savage Polynesian.
The fuck's Polynesian? Pass.
Wow, really? Savage Polynesian, Wild Samoans.
All right, I thought that was it, but I was just like, I don't know. There's something that I was nervous about losing my point. Wow. Drew's got that 1 point. I don't want him to win.
Well, we still got another game. So don't forget, all these points are all going on to the next one as well.
I forgot about that.
All right, well, Tony, you got the last one getting first dibs on this one for you. So in other words, Tony, what is rhinestone dissection? Rhinestone dissection. Wago, rhinestone dissection.
Say new day.
Drew, rhinestone dissection.
Damn, I know it now.
God damn it.
Rhinestone. Rhinestone's a rock, so.
Say new day.
I'm not going to say the new day because I don't trust you. All right.
Is it
the rock bottom? I'm just, I don't want to count it, but is it the rock bottom?
It's not rock bottom.
I was thinking rock at first, too, which threw me off, but it's diamond cutter.
It is diamond cutter.
Fuck.
Drew said the new day. He just lost a point.
He said, I'm not going to say the new day.
All right, guys. I have one final free for all, in other words. And this one, any of you guys can answer. First one to answer gets a bonus point, okay? In other words, guys, what is shift shorthorn? Shift shorthorn. Man, really? No one knows? Shift shorthorn.
Yeah, I suck at this game.
Give me a second on this one.
Chat room, feel free to shout this one out if you can get it before them.
Shift shorthorn.
And if you want to private message me.
Is Yoda the one that says the time's up?
No.
Did you just get bored?
All right. Well, it doesn't seem like when the chat room's getting it. You guys are going to have a shot. Shift Shorthorn, guys, is.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
It's not that. Sorry. Time Cow. Shift Shorthorn is Time Cow. I'm disappointed, guys. Sucked. All right. Well, let me tally up the points here. We got 1 point for Tony and 1 point for Drew.
I'm fucked.
No, dude. You still have a very good chance getting this because this game, everyone has a chance to gather a lot of points. So we are now going to play the Gooker or the Egg.
Just keep saying new day.
Was it the Gooker?
So the way this works, basically, it's kind of like chicken or the egg. Which came first? I'm going to give you guys two different events, and I'm going to give each one of you a chance to answer. So you guys may all want to answer the same thing, or you may want to answer something different. Every single one of you will get a chance to submit an answer for this, and you get a point if you get it right. And if you're wrong, you just don't get a point. You don't lose a point for this. So it's just an opportunity to gain points.
This is going to be as easy as, like, what came first? Royal Rumble 95.
I hope it's not too simple like that.
Royal Rumble 98.
But you guys understand the rules. It's pretty fairly simple in that one, right?
Yeah. Just don't put your names in the name of these. I think that'll help.
No. This is what you should know all this stuff. So, all right.
All free for all?
No, I'm going to actually read the events. And then I'm going to ask each one of you which one you think came first. And if you answer correct, you get the point. And if you're incorrect, you just don't get a point.
All right.
Okay. All right. So, guys, our first, Gooker or the Egg, which came first? WrestleMania 1, the inaugural WrestleMania event, or the birth of Seth Rollins? Tony.
Birth of Seth Rollins.
The birth.
All right. Wago.
shit.
WrestleMania 1 or the birth of Seth Rollins? What came first?
WrestleMania came first.
Drew, what came first?
I'm going to go with Seth Rollins. I believe he's the first champion born after the first WrestleMania. I remember them saying that at one point.
Well, then, why did you say Seth Rollins?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be what came first.
Oh, ooh, then WrestleMania 1.
Well, you already said the wrong answer.
Ah, shit.
Apparently you didn't listen to the rules. Tony,
my bad.
Or excuse me, Wago is the only one to have gotten this correct. WrestleMania 1, March 31st, 1985, Seth Rollins born May 28th, 1986, over a year later. And that point you did say was correct. Him and Dean Ambrose were the first two guys to both main event a pay-per-view that were both born after the first WrestleMania.
Hmm.
Yeah. So there you go.
Making me feel old.
Indeed. All right, guys. So this one is actually not as straightforward. So we'll see how you guys do with this one. The Gooker or the Egg, guys. Which came first? China wins the Intercontinental title from Jeff Jarrett in a good housekeeping match. Or Crash Holly introduces the 24/7 hardcore title rule. Which came first? Tony?
That's a good one. I like this game.
Damn, that's a tough one. I'm going to go 24/7 rule was first.
Wayo?
China was first.
Drew?
I'm going to go with China was first.
All right. Crash Holly introduced the 24/7 rule on February 24th of the year 2000. However, China won that Intercontinental title October 17th, 1999. Wayo and Drew got that one correct. All right, guys, this one. This one's going a little bit further in the way back machine. So shout outs to Brian the Brain. You might be able to get this one. Gooker or the Egg, guys. What happened first? Black Saturday, the infamous day that Vince McMahon appeared on World Championship Wrestling television, pretty much coming to take over Jim Crockett Promotions and folded into his WWE conglomerate that he was building. Of course, they would eventually take it back, but Black Saturday, very infamous day. Or Hulk Hogan winning the WWF title from the Iron Sheik.
Oh, fuck.
Tony.
So what came first between those
what
two?
What came first?
Ah, fuck. This is a gammon. I'm going to say Hogan wins the title first.
Okay, Wago.
I think he acquired Hogan from AWA by then. He was quick to put the belt on him, so I'm going to say Hogan was first.
Drew?
I'm going to go with Hogan was first.
Hulk Hogan won the title from the Iron Sheik on December 26th of 1983. Black Saturday did not happen until July 14th, 1984. All three of you got that one correct. Good job, guys. All right, so we're going to bring this one closer to more recent times. Matter of fact, you guys might not even be able to get this one because I think this is during a period where none of us were watching. Gooker or the Eggs, guys, what came first? WWE goes PG or DX ships the Spirit Squad in a crate back to OVW? Tony?
Jeez, I have no fucking idea. I'm going to have to say Spirit Squad's first.
All right. Wago?
Spirit Squad.
Drew?
Spirit Squad.
Well, you guys are just copying each other, and it's working out for you because that is also all correct. Spirit Squad happened on November 27th of 2006. WWE went PG on July 22nd of 2008.
The reason I knew that one is because during that Spirit Squad feud, they were using a lot of blood and ridiculous weapons still. Yeah.
No, I was actually watching at that time. That's all I knew about that.
There's using your noggin.
Yeah.
I guessed.
All right. So here's one for you guys. Gooker or the Egg, which happened first? Ric Flair captures his first NWA World Heavyweight title from Dusty Rhodes, or Kevin Owens is born? Drew, you go first on this one. Let's go the opposite order.
Let's see. I'm going to go with, it was his first title, NWA World Heavyweight title, right?
First World Heavyweight title win, that's correct.
Okay, I'm going to go with that one.
Okay, Wago?
This one is a real fucking tough one, because I don't know Kevin Owens' age at all. Shit.
Say a new I'm day. Gonna go.
I'm gonna go that Owens was born.
Tony?
I'm going that Ric Flair is old as fuck and he did that first.
And you would be correct to think that. He won that title Shit. On September 17th of 1981. Kevin Owens actually wasn't born until May 7th, 1984.
I was thinking he was like 35 or so.
I thought he was way older as well. He's a younger dude. That beard really adds some age to it.
I guess it gets okay,
It wasn't too far off, so I don't feel so bad about that.
I'm disappointed, Waco, because earlier you had, when I first told you about this game, you said your rule was basically going to be anytime it's Ric Flair, he's going to be the older one. So I was like, I figured that was going to be a giveaway for that one. So now you know for next time. If it's Ric Flair, it's probably the older one.
Kevin yeah, I've got a habit of 1984, Ric Flair won his first title in 1902. So.
All right, guys. So this one isn't exactly wrestling related, but it sort of is. So, Gooker or the Egg, guys. Which came first? The birth of Bob Barker or the birth of Leslie Nielsen? Tony.
God damn.
I don't even know who either of these fuckers are, so whatever. Oh, no, I know who Bob Barker is.
They're both so freaking old.
Who's the other one?
Leslie Nielsen.
If Ric Flair was on here, I would say Ric Flair.
Leslie Nielsen, he's in a lot of parody movies like Airplane and Naked Gun, but you would know him from wrestling. He was the guy who investigated the two Undertakers. Or where Undertaker disappeared to. Remember that whole thing? In the 90s? It was during the dark days in like 95. So you might not have seen it.
A gun to my head, I'm going to have to go with Bob Barker, but shit. Bob Barker's still alive.
Wago?
Bob Barker? I don't know.
Drew?
I'm going to go with Bob Barker.
All three of you going for Bob Barker. And shockingly, you guys are correct. Bob Barker, December 12th, 1923, predates Leslie Nielsen by about 2.5 years, born on February 11th, 1926.
Jesus Christ. Would have preferred to keep Nielsen around.
Yeah, I probably would have preferred Nielsen too. But, yeah. I figured that would be a good one to throw you guys off a little bit. Bunch of old guys. Let me tally up the points we got here. So let's see. Drew got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points. Wago got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points as well. Tony got 1, 2, 3, 4 points.
And he got 1 from the other one.
He did. You have 5 from that. Drew got 5, but he also has a point from above. Holy shit, guys. Drew is our winner of tonight's games.
Hey, and Drew, just so you know, Tony hasn't done one of these in, like, months.
I know. It depends if I want to screw you over or not, so give me a minute.
I don't care. I'm used to it.
So, again, guys, in the chat room, if you have any ideas of how you want Drew to do the plugs, shout him out there quick. Drew has mere seconds to decide here. Drew, who do you want to do the plugs, and how do you want to make them do it?
All right, well, there's a few ways we could do this, but I think the easy choice will be Tony Mango, obviously. And for this one, I think I'm up between two right now. It's between do it as Chris Jericho or The New Day.
We got a good one in the chat. Oh, we got two good ones in the chat.
Ooh.
Well, I'm not Mike chat. Tyson, I like that one.
We got Mike Tyson and Bob Barker.
Ooh. I like the Mike Tyson one. Let's do that one, Tony.
Dude, is Bob Barker getting knocked out by Mike Tyson?
Oh, Christ. Mike Tyson.
But he sounds nothing the way he looks.
I know
sure Tony has
like,
heard what Mike Tyson sounds like.
Hopefully.
We were live in the 90s, Drew. We know.
Well, that's true. My man. America.
All right, let me wrap my brain around this a little bit.
Mike Tyson
amongst yourselves.
Mike Tyson never wraps his brain around it.
What the hell? I'll just go for it. I don't know.
Can't be any worse than my Jar Jar Binks, dude.
I don't even remember your Jar Jar Binks.
It was that bad.
All right. I don't know how to start this. If you want to follow Stephen Wago, follow him at StephenWago.com. It's economical. For Drew White, go to McFreaking Duncan. I don't know if he has anything. He's McFreaking Duncan. He's McFreaking Duncan. Follow Keeping Kayfabe and Fantasy League, WWEFantasyLeague.com. It's something you should do, or else I'm going to knock you the fuck out, okay? And if you want to follow Smart Guy Moment is the most eponymal, magnanimous one you can possibly check out. SmartGuyMoment.com.
Oh, you should have mentioned something about eating children.
Yeah, I was going to say, totally should have said about eating children, and then you should have fell off your hoverboard.
Didn't he beat somebody's mom up or something like that? I was trying to work that in there somewhere.
Sure.
Between the drugs and buying white tigers, I'm pretty sure he did.
You left out all those things, and you didn't even mention anything about eating somebody's ear. Left out a lot of Mike Tysonisms, but that was a good job. That was very funny.
Well, now we've got more for next time, because that was a good question.
Yeah, we could definitely do another Mike Tyson one someday. It's good. Leave them wanting more, right? All right, so that we're actually going to leave you guys wanting more. If you enjoyed this show, please join us live every single week here on MegaPowersRadio.com. That's the easy way to find our new home here on Mixlr. You go to MegaPowersRadio.com. It's got the links to all the shows, all the hosts, all the ways you can interact with us all throughout the week. It's the number one way to find us, the new website at MegaPowersRadio.com. Until next week, folks, I am Mike Payton. For Drew White, for Tony Mango, and for Steven Wago. We'll catch y'all on the flip-flop.